weren't getting that shit, did it?
Yeah.
Whoa. Today,
oh, you know, just chilling.
It's
got, a, like, gray,
yeah,
not very sunny day.
No, the summer really left really fast.
Yeah,
like the weather, the beautiful summer days really flew by.
I got tan, I think, once,
yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah, same. I think I got tan like maybe twice at most, and one of them was just from like being outside and skating, not even to go out and tan. So
it's really a bummer.
I look very much not my ethnicity this summer.
Same.
But I feel like that's been the case for most of my life at this point. Once I became a teenager and became a scene kid, I didn't go outside.
Yeah,
I lost all my
tan when I was a little kid.
Same. It was like super easy to pick me out of a crowd because I was really dark Hispanic.
Yeah, not anymore.
Nope. Why it all left me. Yep. It all left me. I would get people ask me all the time when I first started as an apprentice. They would be like, how do you get your tattoos to stay so bright? And I'd be like, I just don't go outside. I literally, there's not a secret lotion or way of healing or anything like that. I just don't let them see the light of day.
Beautiful.
So they stay vibrant and gorgeous forever.
See, if I didn't have like all these neighbors in this trailer park, I would be outside every day.
Yeah.
Bikini.
Yep.
Topless. I don't care. Just getting some sun.
Period.
Getting some vitamin D.
As you should.
I don't want any of these fucks to see me.
No.
They should not perceive me.
No. Oh, we should build like a hedge wall.
Oh, I would love that. A privacy wall just around this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Why not?
Well, one day we'll be able to get a big commune land.
Oh, yes, please.
All of us just live on it together. All of our businesses are in one building within the commune.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us just go to work in one place.
All of our cats in one massive catio.
Yep. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Right?
So cute.
So cute. What you up to today?
I worked a little bit. And then I went and got my hair cut by you. And now we're bleaching it again so that we can do some funky stuff with it, because I'm about to get my head tattooed, hopefully. I have the appointment scheduled, but she's flaky sometimes, so
we'll see.
She might cancel or reschedule, but I have a tentative appointment for August 6th, so I'm getting my head tattooed. So we shaved the sides down so I can get used to being really bald.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna look sick as hell.
I'm so excited.
Especially with their new hair color that they're gonna have after today.
Which you guys can see if you go to GWC Podcast. Why do I keep doing that? If you go to GWC Podcast on Instagram, I'll post a picture when it's all done, just for you guys.
So it's like when our Greenwich Cottage, when that part is short, then podcast is long.
Yeah.
When Greenwich Cottage is long, podcast is short.
That's
how I remember it.
That makes sense. That's a good way to think of it. You know, I made them.
So. Is it the Virgo or the Tism?
I made them. I should know, but I don't. We have a new member joining our team. We mentioned him last episode, but he has officially joined our team for now. His name is Hunter. He's going to be our editor.
Hi, Hunter.
Everybody say hi, Hunter. Okay, did you say it? Okay, cool. my story's fun.
Yeah?
Well, not really. No, I don't know. I shouldn't have said that, actually. It's not fun.
I was going to say, like, none of these stories are really, like, fun.
No, it's not, like, fun. For me, like, when I can get a good chunk of a story.
Yeah.
That, to me, it's fun to tell, I guess.
I see.
I'm doing a Jane Doe case.
Okay.
I will spoil it right away and say that they did find out who it is.
Cool.
So we have that answer at the end of it. We don't have any other answers, though. So.
Oh, good.
Let's just jump right in. So on September 12th, 1976, at 10:20 a.m., the body of a between 15 and 30-year-old woman was found partially wrapped in a white sheet in Woodlawn, Baltimore County, Maryland. They think she likely died at a different location and had been transported to the side of Dogwood Road near the back gate of a cemetery.
Perfect place for a body.
I know, right? They got it there so that it could be buried.
Just nice and easy.
Yeah. At the time of discovery, the only clue they had to go off of, other than, like, obviously the evidence around the scene, was a Ford Econoline?
Yeah.
Okay. Van from, like, I think it was 76, because one was near the location of the body an hour before it was found, but it was a cemetery, so that person could have been there for a number of reasons.
That's true.
Two bandanas and a bag of grass seeds were found over her face. These had been fastened behind her neck in a square knot.
Okay.
One bandana was blue and white, and the other was orange and white. And the orange and white bandana had holes cut in it to fit the locations of her eyes and nose. Besides the bag over her face, a piece of the grass seed bag was found in her throat.
Ew. So she'd, like, swallowed a bit of it, trying to get out, presumably?
Maybe? This was determined to have been the cause of her death, along with ligature strangulation. The bag read Farm Bureau Association Grass Seed, Lexington, Mass. And her hands had been bound behind her back with some sort of bandage and noticeably high quality knots. And an extremely large amount of a sedative drug called chlorpromazine, was found in the victim's stomach. And chlorpromazine is used to treat schizophrenia.
Interesting.
Which led to the theory linking the victim or those responsible for her to a mental institution. They assumed that maybe she was, like, a runaway from a mental institution, or maybe they did something to her there and then just dropped her off at the cemetery, or, like...
Interesting. There's a lot of ways that can go.
Yeah, the sheet that was wrapped around her body was consistent with those provided at inpatient institutions.
Hmm.
So at that point, they had thought, like I said, maybe she was an escaped mental patient or something happened there and they tried to cover it up or whatever. There was also evidence that suggested she wouldn't have been just a random houseless person because of her dental work.
Okay, so she's been taken care of.
Yeah, so, like, she had cavities that were filled, and I think it said that she had had, like, somewhat of a recent cleaning. Like, it looked like she obviously had the faculties to take care of herself. She also had a poorly tattooed pair of letters that were possibly initials, and they were found on her arm. It contained two letters believed to be either JP, SS, JB, or a similar combination.
That is so wildly different. When I know. You said poorly tattooed, I was like, ah, of course Raina's going to say that they were poorly tattooed. But if you can't even tell if it's a J or an S or a P or a B, like,
yeah,
okay, that's bad.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, it was a 70s, so I don't know how, from my knowledge of tattooing, it wasn't super advanced, but it also wasn't hard to get a JB, but traditional, what, like, just get, like, two letters, but traditional was pretty prominent, and that's very thick lining. So it's possible that if it was professional, it just didn't heal well, or her captors could have put that on her.
What year was this again?
She was found in 1976.
Okay.
She had her ears pierced and a scar on her upper right thigh. She had a widow's peak. She had wavy dark brown to black shoulder-length hair and brown eyes and a dark olive complexion. But they didn't know her exact race, but they honestly assumed her to be white.
Okay, so, like, so light she could have been. It was ambiguous.
Well, they said it was dark olive complexion, so I would assume that that would lead me to think, like, either Hispanic or, like, Greek or something, or, like,
maybe they thought, like, Italian.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that could be it. As they started to gather more evidence after the body examination, the victim has previously been linked to regions in Massachusetts and New York, and they indicated that she was probably a teenage immigrant from Central or South America who had lived in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts, although the family of the individual had yet to be located. So they thought they found the kind of area where she might have come from, but they couldn't figure out who whose family reported her missing or anything like that. They couldn't find a family looking for a daughter, essentially. Now, in 2016, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released the detail that she may have used names Jasmine or Jazzy when alive, but they still weren't 100% sure of her identity.
Bro, that's like, what, 50, 60 years later?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The victim's face has been, like, reconstructed multiple times in drawings and stuff and released to the public. Three versions exist that were rendered by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and other sketches of her also exist. The local police department provided an age regression and an additional reconstruction created by Eve Grant, hoping to provide an estimation of her appearance at a young age in case she was a runaway and somebody maybe knew her at that time. One of the keys which the victim carried was made in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and had like a serial number stamped onto it. The grass seed bag was connected to a factory in Buffalo, New York. It had been sold exclusively in Massachusetts. And years before the murder, production of this type of bag had been halted.
Interesting. So this has been, whoever had this had it for a while.
Yeah. So whoever, which means that whoever dropped her body off there had access to these bags either before production was over or that they killed her in a location that did. So I feel like that would like kind of narrow down the area, but they still didn't really get much off of it. I don't feel like people really give forensic science enough fucking credit because that shit is sick and insane.
Oh, trust me. I give it credit. I'd be watching every single procedural forensic show that exists.
I took a forensic science course in high school and it was so fun and it was so cool. But yeah, forensic pollen analysis of the items found with the body indicated she had spent time in a populous area such as Boston, Massachusetts, or New York. These results were aided by the detection of cedar and hemlock pollen. This is why I think this is so fucking cool. They just found pollen on the stuff around her and could figure out maybe where she traveled through to get there. But yeah, so that pollen possibly originated from a site such as the New York Botanical Garden or Harvard University.
This is very bones core.
I know, and we have so many possibilities of what could have happened. It could have been a mental institution. It could have been a farmer. It could have been a fucking somebody at Harvard University. It could have been a worker at the Botanical Gardens. Like, we have so many possibilities of who could have done this to her, but they still have no idea.
That's crazy.
This case has been featured on America's Most Wanted, and leads were processed but did not lead to the victim's identity or to that of her killer or killers. A break in the case was announced in December of 2015 by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children after the Baltimore County Police received a tip. A suitable match for the identity was discovered, being described as a Puerto Rican or Colombian teenager that had moved to Boston, Massachusetts with her parents and as many as five siblings.
How do they know that?
I don't know. Maybe they killed her. So the explanation for the tattoo of JP on her arm was announced to possibly be the initials for a part of the city known as Jamaica Plain, which we mentioned earlier.
That's her hood.
And the possible match also lived on Forbes Street. So I guess I don't really know why that's important, but they felt it was important. And I put it in there because apparently I felt it was important at the time also. Potential school locations were also included. The department has had difficulties finding the relatives of the girl, which ended up putting the investigation on hold because they got this tip. I knew this girl, blah, blah, blah. But they still couldn't find her family. So that lead kind of went nowhere. Now, on September 15th, my birthday.
Happy birthday, Wayna.
On September 15th, 2021.
Ooh.
After further DNA testing done with the assistance of the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, Bode Technology and Othram detectives identified the girl as 16-year-old Margaret Felteroff from Alexandria, Virginia. Felteroff.
Okay, that's not that far from Massachusetts.
No. And I don't know, like, the fact that they didn't figure it out until 2021 feels off to me.
Yeah, that's, like, a long time.
Yeah. So she went missing in the late summer of 1975. And at the time of her disappearance was a student at Hayfield Secondary School. She was reported missing by her family 1 year before her body was found. So she was gone for an entire year before they found her body.
That's crazy. And then actually, I lied. It is kind of far away.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like 7.5 hours. Oh. Just kidding. We don't know geography. What was she doing so far from home?
She was running away. I mean, hey, in a year, she could have traveled pretty far.
Yeah.
So an investigation continues into who was responsible for... The body was... an act of necrophilia was involved, essentially. I didn't include that because I didn't feel like it was necessary.
Yeah.
But they tried finding the person who sexually assaulted her and murdered her. I tried finding information on what led up to her going missing because it said that her parents believe she ran away.
Yeah.
And I want to know why she would have run away.
What were you guys doing?
Yeah. Why did she run away? All of the articles I could pull up were subscription only.
That's so annoying.
Like, I found a link directly to the FBI webpage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would try to open the link, it said it couldn't load.
Weird.
So I couldn't access that.
I wonder if she got picked up by a hitchhiker. Or, like she was hitchhiking.
Maybe.
And she got picked up by somebody.
There were a lot of serial killers active in that time.
Yeah.
So it really could have been any one of them who mm-hmm. were in that area. Unfortunately, like I said, I have no access to the info of what happened to her before she ran away. But of course, Reddit came to my rescue.
Of course.
Of course. I found a thread on Reddit by no_feedback_3340. And the post itself is just posting the general question of who murdered her. But one commenter mentioned that she had apparently had a tendency to run away, but she would always come back.
Hmm.
So maybe she was just a tumultuous, angsty teen and would run away to get her parents upset, but she maybe got picked up by somebody this time and ended up getting taken somewhere and all that shit. But there were a lot of, like I said, active serial killers around that time, and it's possible she could have just been an unlucky runaway who got picked up by one of them.
Yeah.
I believe the case was opened back up in 2021. I'm not 100% sure if they've closed it again since they obviously don't have any more leads or anything, but there's, you know, a bunch of places you can call and report if you know anything. At this point, we know she's not alive, but if anybody knows anything about who she was or who she was with or anything like that, they're still trying to figure out who did this to her.
I wonder if she had, like, some sort of mental breakdown and ended up in a psychiatric facility.
Oh, maybe. Or at that time, they were just fucking taking anybody and everybody they thought needed it.
Yeah.
And throwing them in there. So.
And I mean, a 16-year-old who's 7 hours away from home.
Yeah. They might have been like, oh, well, you should come stay here. We'll take care of you. And then
yeah,
it wasn't a safe situation or something. Literally anything could have happened.
That's so scary.
So it's still a cold case. They still don't know how it happened to her, who did it to her, where she died, anything like that. They just know where she was found and where she's from.
Hmm.
So at least her parents have, or her family has, the closure of knowing like something happened to her, that she's not just like out there in the world still. Yeah. And they just don't, you know, have access to her. At least they have the closure of knowing what did end up happening. But yeah, they still have no idea who did it
and
or anything.
And a body to bury and, yeah, you know, those things.
So yeah, that is the Jane Doe case that was solved in 2020. Well, not solved, but
you know,
identified in 2021.
That's so crazy. It's amazing, really, what we can do with like modern technology.
It was so cool when I read that pollen
cold cases
stuff.
Yeah, I want all of the old cold cases resolved.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Yeah, well, and like I was reading, I didn't include it in my info because it's not like a super reliable source, but I was reading that one of the Redditors commented and said that one serial killer who was active around that time admitted to killing a couple women along that way, but they'd never truly identified if she was one of them or anything, and he never named them. So
Sometimes they just do that for clout.
I know. Sometimes they're like, yeah, I've killed like 30 women and they've killed like four.
Yeah. It's shitty.
Yeah. It's so demented. I was watching an analysis video on, this is going to sound mean, but it was an analysis video on how Gypsy Rose has been polling men. Mm-hmm. And it got into the psychology of people who are attracted to inmates and stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to learn more about that. I want to learn more about people getting, because even Rod Farrell, who I covered last week, the woman he met was visiting her husband prison.
You know, it really like has to be a mental illness, because how can you separate like the person from these horrible actions?
Yeah. And it's like, it's one thing if it was like Rod and he was 16 and a troubled teenager.
Right.
And another thing if it was a full grown man, adult, who was doing creepy and weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're into inmates, DM us and tell us what's wrong with you.
Yeah, I'm so curious. If anybody has ever had like a pen pal relationship or anything with an inmate or anything like that, I'm so curious to know the story.
I told one of my friends one time that I was thinking about doing that, and they said, why? You mean your dad?
Hey.
Which, to be fair, he was in jail at that time, and he did call me constantly.
Well, I sent you that TikTok of that lady who was like, I've been reading online that a bunch of lonely women will just pick an inmate to pick up. Mm-hmm. And they'll just go and find their release dates and show up the day that they're supposed to be released and say that they're there to pick that person up, and they'll just take them home.
That's so crazy.
That's so scary.
That's how you get killed.
Literally. Ma'am. Like, what?
Don't do that.
No. Also, on the topic of Gypsy Rose, we have not gotten to talk about any of that since she's come out of prison, because we were on break.
I know.
Guys? Oh my god. What is going on? Like, At first, I was like, I don't understand why she's getting so much hate. Like, I know she did something wrong, but clearly she's learned and grown from it, whatever. I don't think she has, no.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of people be like, you know, she was a lot older than you think she was when the murders occurred. Like, she's now in her 30s.
Yeah.
Which, like, even if she was not...
Well, I mean, she didn't even know how old she was still.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Like, her mom was lying to her
and
about
I think
her age.
Mentally, she had to have been younger than her real age.
Yeah.
But I do think even if maybe she had more of a role in the murder than she wants people to believe, I do still kind of think that's like, you're right.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to kill your abuser.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, make it a law. Like,
I don't know what to say. That, like, just kind of makes sense to me.
Who was it? There was somebody. It makes me feel shitty that I can't remember.
We should rinse you soon.
Okay. I don't remember her. I'm not remembering her name right now. It's, like, slipping my mind. But there was a black girl who was, like, held captive for a little while and then murdered her abuser.
Cynthia Brown?
I think so. Everybody was like, yeah, fucking good for her. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, literally.
But she does it and she's a monster still?
Mm. Funny how that works.
Like, I don't understand the difference, I guess.
She was black.
Yeah, but like, what, like, aren't we supposed to be moving past this? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. I think everybody should have the right to... Yeah, kill her abuser. Yeah, and
not that we're advocating for a murderer.
Like, no, but like,
no, don't do like, that.
But like, if you do, I mean, it's already done. We can't change that. Like,
what are we gonna do? We're just a couple of yappers.
That's all. But yeah, I've been watching her life after lockup, and I mean, y'all, she's in therapy.
Yeah.
She might need a lot of it, but she's in it. So, like, I feel like everybody's not giving her the grace to, one, be an influencer unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Like, she got out of jail and just kind of got thrown into the spotlight.
True.
And now at this point, it's her main source of income. And, so she can't just, like, stop.
Yeah. And she, you know, I do think she married Ryan so that she could not go to her parents' house for parole and like live more of an independent life, which I definitely like understand. And also, Ryan, if you're kind of a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what did you expect? So I don't feel bad for you at all. You can cry on your Instagram or your TikTok lives all you want. I don't care.
What did y'all think of me crying last week? Did it touch y'all's heart?
Let's put a poll.
Blue means no, red means yes. I can't. Or like he did one where it was like, you think Gypsy should have chose me or Kim?
Yeah.
He's ridiculous.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't blame her for leaving him. He's
gross.
He's very insecure. And like controlling. That's the main root of it is an insecurity.
Yeah, for sure.
And he just needs to do a lot of work on himself. And, you know, I mean, she loved him. They loved each other. You know, but sometimes shit just doesn't work out. And I just feel like everybody's jumping down her throat.
Yeah. Sometimes
it's not like she went to a random man. She went back to her ex-fiance. Right. You know, like, cut her some slack, y'all.
That's a rom-com movie thing, you know?
Exactly. Let her live her fucking teenage messy life.
For sure. She's not a teenager. She's in her 30s. But
I'm going to still call myself a teenager when I'm in my 30s.
True. But she didn't get a chance to experience her teenage years. Exactly. So, you know, she kind of still is.
Exactly. But anyway, on that note, y'all, we're going to
take a break.
We're going to rinse out my hair and spark up a little. And then we'll be back with another tantalizing tale.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. Oh, yeah. That was a fat one. That was a fat wrong bip.
Oh,
drink you some root beer.
Yeah, root beer.
Earlier, Raina tried to fill that bottle of root beer from the soda machine. It did not work.
It did not work. And I got it all over my hands. And when I got back to the car... I went to put the key in, and I got fucking soda syrup all over the key. God, you weren't kidding. That shit did it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Punched in the face.
God, this is probably the worst hit we've taken in GWC history so far.
Yeah. You want to know something that I'll do? If I'm in a real pinch, but only if I'm in a real pinch, because I do feel my brain cells actively dying when I do it.
Do you smoke ash?
No. What I'll do is I'll break open a vape and then dab it.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
But, dude, like, there's something about it that, like, actively I can feel myself getting stupider the minute I do it.
Oh, yeah. I get insanely stoned when I do that.
Yeah. Insanely. Cannot be good for your brain.
Oh, definitely not. Especially because after a certain point, even though there's still some oil in there, what you've been smoking is not the oil because it's not high enough for it to burn anything.
That's true.
So you're just getting all that, like, carbon and cotton and all that stuff just, like, in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just soaking in it.
Gross.
There has been a lot of stuff that's come out lately. Since you listen to the show, I feel like it's important for us to tell you. There's a lot of stuff being sold in stores in non-legal states that have been recalled.
Yeah.
So, go check that list out. There's a list. I think there's like 20 something things on the list right now of all of the brands and stuff that is getting recalled. And you definitely don't want to be smoking recalled shit.
No.
That's how we had the whole spice epidemic. Like,
also, along the same lines, I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't and you have a vagina, just know that now they're saying that tampons have lead and arsenic in them. So that's real cool.
Oh, also, birth control is now a, I think it's like a label one carcinogenic.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, this country loves people with vaginas.
I know, it's so great.
But anyways, so I got my period on the full moon, cause, like the witch that I am.
Love that.
And I used pads the whole time. Hated it. Oh, I hate
pads.
I hated it.
I hate pads so much.
This sucks. What's a gal supposed to do?
There is a list of safe tampon brands. There is a list of brands that have been tested and haven't come back positive for lead or any of that stuff. It's a very small list, and I'm sure they're twice as expensive.
Probably.
Which fucking sucks. Like, there's that fucking question in Broad City where she's like, What do homeless women do?
Yeah.
Like, right? Do I buy food or do I buy tampons?
Right. I saw somebody was like, how do they make toilet paper white? Well, they bleach it. So you're wiping your butthole with bleach. Like, that's weird.
Yeah. There was a, my ex's mom would buy toilet paper from this company online, and it's like non-bleached toilet paper.
I bet it's so expensive.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
And she got it. She had to get it shipped. She couldn't just go pick it up.
That's wild.
Yeah. So
that, the lengths you have to go to not wipe your butthole with bleach.
It's so, I just, and like, you hear about how people with like celiac disease or gluten allergies and stuff go to like Italy, and the entire time they're eating bread and pasta and like all the shit that they can't eat here.
Yeah.
And they're fine.
I also hear people say that they like lose a ton of weight when they go to Europe, even though they eat a lot more, which could be due to more walking. We don't fucking walk in the US.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're in like New York or something. But yeah, their stuff just is like better for them.
Oh yeah. It's just, it's grown and processed differently.
Yeah.
Than it is here. They don't, I don't know, they're not all, I mean, they are about profit. Like every country in the world is about profit.
Yeah.
But they're also concerned about their citizens.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, they want to make sure that the citizens, not only are they putting out food that doesn't last as long, it's like because they know that it's going to get eaten and bought.
Right.
Like,
they don't want it to sit on a shelf forever.
Yeah. They're not buying stuff for doomsday people.
Yeah. Like, I promise we're not like crunchy granola. Just like, you know, just common sense.
Yeah. I'm not crunchy granola. I honestly see where the crunchy granolas are coming from, though.
Yeah. They like get into like a weird
place. I think, yeah. The pipeline is strange. Yeah.
The pipeline is strange. Not going down it, but
yeah,
I can see where they're coming from in certain situations.
Like, I'm friends with a lot of herbalists.
Yeah.
And like, they're kind of granola, but it's because they know like what's good for them and what's not, and they know what stuff is made out of. There's a TikToker right now, Nina Poole. She's really popular. She has autism, and her type of autism means that she loves to read direction or ingredients on everything. So she makes videos constantly every day of like dupes for makeup products.
Very cool.
And she's like, setting spray, it's just alcohol and distilled water, pretty much. That's it. So you can make it at home. She said, this stuff, it's made out of this, this, and this. You can get this at the dollar store for like $5.
Wow.
Like, so, I don't know. I just think we all need to start being a little, I guess, more selective.
Yeah, I would say more like community-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Our area of the state is very community-based.
Yeah, for sure.
And the skate community is super community-based because I skate at a DIY skate park. We make everything there. So
nice.
I've been getting a lot of sense of community lately, which is really nice.
We love that.
Yeah.
Speaking of community, me and Raina are currently watching season 6 of Too Hot to Handle.
Oh, I guess this is a good time to let you guys know we've decided to open a Patreon.
Yeah.
And we decided one of the things that we want to do in our Patreon, we'll post a link and stuff everywhere, and we'll give you the Patreon name and everything once it's all fully set up. I can't shut my mouth. I can't wait. We're opening a Patreon, and we want to watch reality TV show with you guys. So,
please, we're very funny.
We're so funny, and we're so fun to watch this with because we're such reasonable and logical people. That came out sarcastic. It's not.
We're really smart, guys.
We're so smart. But yeah, we want to watch stuff with you guys. So if you guys are interested in that, when the Patreon is fully set up, we'll put that link out there and we'll give you guys the handle and everything. And you can subscribe to your heart's content and get even more content from us.
Come
and
be weird with us.
I'm so excited to give you guys the content I've been wanting to give you since the start. Thanks, Hunter. Because it's all thanks to you. Now that I have help, I feel like I can do everything I want to do.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter, and sorry for all the period talk, but not sorry because you know what, men should hear about these things.
Yeah, it's good to learn.
Yeah, well,
anyway,
are you ready for my story this week?
I am.
Okay,
your hint was that it was related to mine.
Yes, so
I'm so intrigued.
We're, you know, Raina brought us a little Twilight themed mm-hmm. last episode, so I am running with that.
Hell yeah.
I thought of
continuing to run with it also.
I saw it, I took it, I ran with it.
Just a full vampire season.
Yeah. Actually, can we pause?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry guys. After a brief nosebleed break,
God.
I am back, ready to go. Better than ever.
Better than ever. I was just about to say that, but it was hitting my vape.
Beat you to it. That's the price of smoking. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about Jasmine Richardson. Jasmine was born in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada in 1994.
Alberta, Canada?
Yeah, we're going international on this one. To our up north neighbors.
Neighbors.
Never been.
I've never been to Canada either. I really considered moving there for
really
a hot minute. I would still move there, but
I could see it.
I've read it's really hard to get, like you can get into Canada, but to be able to stay in Canada, it's really hard. So
yeah.
And expensive.
Aww. Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Well, we will be in Canada for the next like 15 minutes or so.
I feel like that's how they would say it in Canadian.
That was beautiful. Don't let anybody dull your shine.
Thank you. I won't.
You're welcome. Jasmine's parents were Mark and Deborah Richardson, and she had a younger brother named Jacob, and they had a relatively, like, normal, loving family. Jasmine was a happy kid. She was sociable until early 2006, when Jasmine is 12 years old. And she meets a 23-year-old man named Jeremy Stanky. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going to say it for all of the episode. Stanky.
Ooh.
They met at a punk rock show. Of course. Who could have predicted that one?
God.
He was very, like, crust punk looking.
I had one of those once. Oh, terrible.
We all did. Jeremy told people that he was a 300-year-old werewolf. This is the Jacob to your Edward.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're in love.
They're in love. Isn't that so funny?
Somebody, if we ever get big enough that we have people writing fanfics and stuff.
Oh my God.
Somebody, please. Please, please, please write a fanfic of Rod and this guy. Please.
Make them gay.
Make them in love.
Also, just a little tidbit. Come October, the place where I like to dance has a Halloween show coming up. And me and another friend of mine will be doing a dance as Edward and Jacob.
Slay.
It will be very slay.
Very slay.
I will probably post a video of it.
Yay. And I'll probably be there, so.
Yes.
I may post a video of it, too.
Anyways, so Jeremy, he's a 300-year-old werewolf.
Yes.
But also a 23-year-old man.
Established, yes. Established. Correct.
He carries a vial of blood around his neck. Ooh. He's like, I drink blood.
Ooh, but you're a werewolf.
Yeah. Well, he also had an account on the website www.vampirefreaks.com.
Vampire freaks.
Vampire freaks. Is somebody gonna match my freak? Jasmine also had an account on there.
Oh.
But that's not how they met. They met at the punk show.
Oh, they just happen to have similar interests.
Yes.
Oh, well, what would have you that?
So, you know, Jeremy, he had a rougher childhood than Jasmine did. His mother was an alcoholic. Her, like, husband abused him, of course. So he was like, you know what? I'm a werewolf now.
Period.
Period. But after meeting Jeremy, Jasmine's whole personality, like, really changed. Like, that happy-go-lucky 12-year-old, which, again, 12? 12 is so young. She is 12. Literally a child. She's not even a preteen.
She had an account on Vampire Freaks at 12?
Yes! Girl, if you don't go inside.
Oh my God. Who is allowing her computer access to that at 12?
Because this is 2006. We don't know about internet safety yet.
That's true. Why was she at a punk rock show at 12?
Great question. keep an eye on your damn kids.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
That's how they meet weirdos at punk rock shows.
Exactly.
Ugh. So soon, Jasmine and Jeremy are dating. They're messaging each other constantly. Jasmine's parents are like, bro, we're not letting you date this weird old dude.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, obviously, you're literally 12 years old.
Yeah.
And so Jasmine was just like kind of always trying to get around that and find ways to communicate with him. I'm going to read you a blog post of Jeremy's.
Uh-oh.
He says, payment. Oh, my lover's rents are totally unfair. They say that they really care. They don't know what's going on. They just assume. ... Their throats I want to slit.
Oh my god.
... Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment.
Oh.
Yeah, it was intense and very dramatic.
That was very dramatic.
Like, for what, sir?
Yeah, relax. Take a deep breath. Wank it out. You'll be fine.
Literally. Despite this, though, Jasmine was actually the first person to suggest murdering her family.
What?
Yeah.
Jasmine.
In an email to Jeremy, she said her plan begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you.
Solid plan, girl.
Solid plan. It's well thought out.
You got it figured out.
What a... Oh, 12-year-olds.
12-year-old. God.
Like, literally...
It starts with me killing all of them and ends with me living with you. And she's 12.
Girl, you literally eat chicken tenders and mac and cheese.
You get your milk in a bag, okay?
You're literally in middle school.
God. And in 2006, she probably wasn't cute.
I mean, she was wearing all her little goth stuff to look older.
I did catch as I kind of got older.
Yeah.
And grew out of my scene phase that way more men were interested in me when I was a scene 12, 13, 14 year old than when I was a normal looking 15, 16, 17 year old.
And that's so bizarre and weird.
Super strange.
Super strange. And I'll say, like, based on her pictures, I could say you could see her being 15. And I think she did say she was 15 online.
Okay. Okay.
With the makeup, it is believable.
Okay.
You could look at her and be like, yeah, that's a 15-year-old.
Yeah. I don't know what children look like. So yeah. I don't feel like I would be able to distinguish
exactly
a 12-year-old from a 13, 14, 15-year-old. I don't think I would be able
to tell. Exactly. So on April 23rd, 2006, on April 22nd, so the night before, they're watching a movie, a 1994 movie. It's called Natural Born Killers.
Oh.
It's about this young couple who goes on a killing spree.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing their research, you know?
Yeah, they're learning from the real life experience of the cinema.
Of the movie they rented from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
So next day, April 23rd, Deborah is stabbed multiple times. Mark
Not
is stabbed.
Deborah.
Yep, Deborah. Mark is also stabbed, although he fought back with a screwdriver.
Oh, mm-hmm. Why was there a screwdriver in the bed?
You know,
or where
they weren't in the bed.
Oh, okay.
For
some reason, I assumed they had to have been in bed.
Yeah, no, I think they were still awake.
Oh, okay.
Jacob's throat had been slit as he slept in
bed. Oh my god.
Yeah, the 8-year-old. He was 8. At the time.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. The next morning, a neighbor boy went to knock on the door to play with Jacob. And when he knocked on the door, I guess he kind of, like, went around. They had, you know, those, like, basement windows that are kind of, like, at ground level?
Yeah.
He, like, kind of looked, peered into the basement, and that's where he saw the parents.
Oh, my God.
So he ran back home, told his mom. His mom called the police. And as they're kind of, like, canvassing the scene.
That poor boy's going to need therapy.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Oh, my God.
A lot of it. So as the police are, like, processing the scene, they assume that Jasmine's been abducted.
Yeah.
Because, like, why would they think the 12-year-old daughter was responsible for the murdering of the whole family?
Yeah.
So they're looking for her. They put out an Amber Alert for her.
Oh.
Yeah. However, once they start, like, looking at the evidence and looking through her computer, they were like, oh, no, she did this.
Yeah.
Her and Jeremy were arrested after being pulled over in Jeremy's truck 130 kilometers away, because we're in Canada. I don't know how many fucking miles that is. She admitted that Jeremy killed her parents while she stayed upstairs.
Snitch.
And killed her brother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that the parents were awake and the brother was asleep. So it almost feels like she was trying to be, like, more compassionate with him. Maybe. And he did not give a fuck.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, I don't know. I just, like, slitting his throat is kind of crazy.
It's crazy. It's for sure crazy. But at least he just, like, didn't wake up, I guess.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know. It's bad. At the trial in 2007, Jasmine claimed that all of her conversations were hypothetical. I wasn't really going to murder them, even though I did murder them. Yeah. She ended up being convicted on 3 counts of first-degree murder and was the youngest person in Canada to ever receive multiple murder convictions.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. However, because of her age, she was only eligible for the maximum sentence of 10 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah, kind of fucked up. She spent a year and a half in jail before the trial, mm-hmm. so that counted towards her sentence. And then she spent 4 years in a psychiatric institution and then another 4.5 years in conditional supervision in the community. So, like, on parole.
Yeah.
She started taking college classes towards the end, and in May 2016, her sentence was totally completed. No check-ins, no nothing.
What?
Yeah. Jeremy, on the other hand, also he received 3 life sentences for his 3 first-degree murder convictions in a separate trial in 2008. However, he was able to serve those concurrently and will be eligible for parole after 25 years. Which, I don't understand how you can get 3 life sentences, serve them at the same time, and then be done in 25 years.
Yeah, that's not a life sentence.
Not at all.
Canada, what is going on?
So, hopefully he doesn't get out.
But, I mean, I feel like Canada's I mean, I don't know the facts. I know that some countries are better at rehabilitation. Whereas, like, you know, the prison system here is just slavery.
Right, that's true.
So, like, there they actually get... I don't think they have death
row either.
Yeah, I think there they actually get, like, really intense and good counseling and therapy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I think their rates of rehabilitation are a bit higher.
True.
But I might be wrong. I feel like that's true, but I might be wrong. Just because
I don't know enough to... I don't know enough to say yes or no. So, we'll just go with it.
Yep.
They exchanged letters for a little bit while in prison.
What?
Yeah.
They were still allowed to talk to each other?
I know, that feels wrong, especially since she was a minor.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That feels really wrong.
Ew.
Ew. But since being freed from the criminal justice system, Jasmine has moved to a new location and uses a new name.
Oh.
So that's that for Jasmine. I don't
know. Do we think she got better?
I think everything that I read said that she did genuinely, like, atone and feel sorry for mm-hmm. what she did, feel remorse.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I read anything like that about Jeremy Stanky.
Uh-oh. Stanky. Stanky's letting us down.
But, you know, so hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the werewolf.
Oh, Stanky.
Werewolf murders to your vampire murders.
God. Stanky and Pharrell.
What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, what's going on? Do you guys know each other?
Do you write in prison? Like, bro, I'm a 900-year-old vampire. Bro, no way. I'm a 300-year-old werewolf.
That would be so funny. I wonder if they know about each other.
Hey, Stella, could you, like, stop walking all over all of my things?
Girl, what's up?
That would be great. Thank you.
She's like, I'm just going to stand right here at the very corner with all 4 paws in the very corner. I have a picture of Poops that I took the other day where she's loafed up at the very, like, she's almost off the bed. Like, the very corner edge of the bed. Stupid little girl.
Stupid cats.
Orm. Well, that was crazy.
Right?
That was insane.
I know. I could not believe that I found a case that was like...
I can't believe it was a Canadian case like that, too. Yeah. I feel like you found a diamond in the rough there.
I know, right? That a was, real gem.
Yeah, that was... I feel like that was a lot of Canadian firsts.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
It's gotta be. There's hopefully no fucking way that there's another one.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Do you want to do a little reading?
Do you want to rinse,
yeah,
put your color on, and then do a reading?
Yes, that okay. Sounds good.
Let's and do maybe, it. Maybe she might. Maybe she might. I mean, if you want to, I'm not going to tell you no.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Okay, we're back for a little reading.
It's tarot time.
I'm actually really excited for this reading. I feel like I have been in desperate need for a reading, but I haven't had the energy to give myself a reading. So.
Oh, yeah. I really don't do a whole lot. I should be doing more.
Yeah, I should be too.
But sometimes, you know, when you read for yourself, you just see what you want to see.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just not even worth it.
Mm-mm.
Well, I will let you do the honors.
Okay.
And I will be ready. So what are we... talking about? Are we just general, like,
she wants to give us
vibe check
already.
Tell us what's going on, tell us what we need to know.
The first card that was pulled,
the Four of Cups.
Four of Cups. Hi, Luna, you look so cute. Okay,
she is so cute. The Four of Cups is about meditation, contemplation, apathy, reevaluation. Let's see here. When the Four of Cups turns up in a tarot reading, new invitations and opportunities are flowing to you, but for now you're saying no and turning them away. Use your discernment to decide on what is truly important to you, and don't be afraid to decline new projects that don't align with your future path. Can also indicate a time when you're turning your attention and your energy internally to realign to this new phase of life. Sometimes this card brings the message, not now, maybe later.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like the interpretation of we're turning our energy internally and we're realigning.
Yeah.
And we're becoming
reevaluating
our highest selves.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one that fell out. These all just fell out, by the way.
Yelling at us.
The World.
Oh, yay. It's a good one. It's about contemplation, integration, accomplishment, travel.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. When the World card appears in a tarot reading, you're glowing with a sense of wholeness, achievement, fulfillment, and completion. A long-term project, period of study, relationship, or career has come full circle, and you are now reveling in the sense of closure and accomplishment. This card could represent graduation, a marriage, the birth of a child, or achieving a long-held dream or aspiration. You have finally accomplished your goal or purpose. Everything has come together and you are in the right place, doing the right thing, achieving what you have envisioned.
Mm-hmm. Mine and Lou's anniversary is coming up next month.
Aww.
Or September, not August.
Cute.
I feel like we're already done with July.
I think so.
The next one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of cups, I think. Is that what this one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not know Roman numerals?
Not by heart.
See, this is such a great reading.
Yay!
This one's about opportunities, choices, wishful thinking, perhaps a little illusion. When the Seven of Cups appears in a tarot reading, you have many options and opportunities from which you can choose. But be careful, you are prone to illusion and unrealistic ideals. An opportunity with promises of more money, more fame, or more power may sound appealing, but as you look deeper into what is on offer, you may realize it's not everything it's cracked up to be.
Mm.
You may find that your ideas are not grounded in reality.
Oh.
This card is inviting you to move out of the ideas and options phase and choose.
Okay.
Is that all the cards?
No, there's two more.
There's two more. Okay. So far to me, it sounds like, you know, things have been going good. We've had a lot of ideas. We've been working on ourselves, but let's not be too hasty.
Yeah. And like, put your foot down where you need to, like, reevaluate and like,
Have boundaries.
Yeah, do what you need to do to, like, continue your goal.
Yeah, for sure.
The next one that was pulled. Don't know the number. Let me see. I tried counting them, but they're skinny.
It's the Seven of Swords. Okay. B means five.
Oh, okay. Well, that's helpful.
And then there's two after it, so seven. If it's before it, that means minus. Ooh, betrayal, deception, getting away with something, acting strategically.
Hmm.
Traditionally, the Seven of Swords indicates theft, betrayal, deception, and trickery. You may be trying to get away with something and are sneaking around behind other people's backs. If you're lucky, you might get away with your secret intact. Be aware that anytime you use cunning or deception to gain an advantage over someone or something else, you are at risk of being found out. Alternatively, you may be the victim of someone else's betrayal. On a more positive note, the Seven of Swords points out that you need to be strategic in what you do. You know you cannot do everything at once, nor should you. Instead, you must prioritize what's important to you and direct your focus and attention on the few tasks that will move you closer to your goals.
Okay. So still coming back to
goals.
Goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last one that was pulled is the Lovers.
Aww.
Oh, he got a tiny dick. That poor man on the tarot card.
It's about love, harmony, relationships, value alignment, choices. In its purest form, the Lovers card represents conscious connections and meaningful relationships. The arrival of this card in a tarot reading shows that you have a beautiful, soul-honoring connection with a loved one.
Aww.
Yeah.
So true.
While the Lovers card typically refers to a romantic tie, it can also represent a close friendship, bestie,
aww,
or a family relationship where love, respect, and compassion flow.
Like our family here at GWC.
At Olive Garden. I could have sworn that was what you were going to say.
Like we were suddenly in a commercial.
I thought you were in sync with me.
Oh man.
Sorry for ruining that beautiful moment.
No, I mean Olive Garden is still true.
If you hear your family.
And Olive Garden. Well, that was the reading for y'all this time.
On the prize.
Yeah. Keep going with your goals. You're on the right track. Do what you need to do. Reevaluate some things if you have to. Take some action in some places if you need to. Don't get too hasty. Mm-hmm. Don't take on more than you can chew.
Yeah.
Don't take on a really too good to be true opportunity just because it's too good to be true.
True.
I've had that happen. Do you guys remember?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, right? Yeah, you guys remember when I left my shop to go to the other one and it fell apart. So yeah, just don't do that. Just make sure if you're making a decision that it truly aligns with what you're wanting to do and that you can. What is your problem?
Salem, get off of my goddamn table. Stay away. Yoink. Yeet.
Anyway, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep going. Put your foot down. Set boundaries.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do.
We'll get there together.
Get that bag, besties. If you liked this episode, be sure to leave us a review and send it to all your friends and family members and Republican grandparents.
Just not mine.
I don't care. Mine can listen to it. I don't give a shit. And if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, you just want to chit chat, you want to tell us you hate us.
Yap at us.
Tell us gossip. I'm still waiting for one of you to give me some juicy gossip. You can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to see my new hair and Sabrina's super sleigh dance show and just all the fun stuff we have planned for Patreon and the show and everything that's coming this season, you can follow us at Greenwich Cottage or no GWC podcast at gmail.com. I almost said the email
at gmail.com. on Instagram.
I said, I almost said the email again.
And then said it. We're trying our best.
GWC podcast on Instagram. Yeah. She said.
That's how you know that what we've been smoking on been hitting.
It's good. Yeah.
It's good shit.
Yeah. And also remember to light up.
And look out.
And we love you.
We'll see you next time.
Yep, you next time. Yep, you later.